Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The hearings for the confirmation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh begin in Washington, D.C. This is a critical moment in American history for America and particularly for the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll talk about it next on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, Judge Brett Kavanaugh is now proceeding through the Senate confirmation hearings. And Matt, this is going to be a critical moment for America because the empty seat is the critical swing vote of Anthony Kennedy. And on two major moral issues, he went the wrong way: abortion and same-sex marriage. And if we have someone on the bench that will interpret the Constitution and be under the Constitution to interpret the law rather than to make law, as judges are required to interpret, not make law, we'll have a huge difference in the future on these and other issues.
That's right. And the good news is it looks like he's probably going to get through, absent some kind of shenanigans by Democrats. There may even be some red state Democrats that end up voting for him. But as we've talked about before, Matt, Liberty Counsel has done a wonderful assessment of Kavanaugh's judicial temperament, if you will. And Chief Justice Rehnquist, the late Chief Justice Rehnquist, was kind of his inspiration. And he wrote a scathing dissent to Roe v. Wade and also an assessment of that. And Kavanaugh signed off on it. He agreed with it. So that's encouraging for those who love life.
Yeah, he gave a speech, and this is not the only speech he's given, but he gave a speech in September 2017 during Constitution Week where he laid out his judicial philosophy and his what he calls first judicial hero being Rehnquist, the former Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. And the reason why he's a judicial hero of Brett Kavanaugh is because Rehnquist believed that judges ought to interpret the law, not make the law, and he wanted to rein in the activist Supreme Court. He was obviously opposed to the abortion decision in 1973 and in 1992, and ended up authoring a 5-4 decision in 1997 that rejected the idea that there's a so-called constitutional right to die. And I think in many other areas, he reined back the court in, and sometimes he was successful and other times he got close. But the reason why he's a hero of Brett Kavanaugh is because of the role of judges, that there are three branches of government and that the judicial branch is not the super branch. It is a branch of government that is tasked solely with interpreting the law, not making the law.
You know, and as the hearings start today, it's a great reminder for us to remember to pray for Judge Kavanaugh and his family. I mean, he's already been going through grueling meetings with all these different legislators previous to this time, and now he, 3 to 5 days of this. So it's just going to be exhausting for him. He's been isolated from the public, from the media. So this is a very critical but exhausting time for him and his family.
You know, if you've ever interviewed for a job, you can understand if you're going through various different potential employers and you're going from person to person and you're interviewing for that job. Well, that's in fact what
for weeks
he's
yeah.
been doing for weeks.
Yeah.
From senator to senator. There's 100 senators. Imagine going through an interview process and you have to be interviewed by 100 people separately.
Right. And they're all questioning him on these very important issues.
Yeah. And so not only does he have to prepare for those meetings, but he has to participate in those meetings. And he's literally, when he's in the Senate building, he's literally going from a pre-scheduled, from the morning till the late in the evening, meeting one after another, from room to room to room to room, meeting with these various senators. So it's grueling. And he's been away from his family. He is being asked all kinds of pointed questions. And then not only that, he'll be in the national spotlight with pointed questions, and some of these are going to be not questions.
Yeah.
They're going to be the Democratic mantra against him.
Criticisms. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I was going to say is imagine doing a job interview where at least half of the
are
people
against you.
Are yelling at you.
That you're interviewing against are bound and determined to destroy you.
Not they don't want you to be, they don't want you to join their place of employment.
Yeah.
The liberals are more desperate now because this would be a 5-4 originalist court that could set back their cultural Marxist agenda to, you know, Barack Obama famously said, fundamentally transform America. This could set it back literally a generation. They realize that it could undo much of the cultural Marxist gains that the left has made here in the United States in recent decades.
And understand the importance of the Supreme Court. You see it, obviously, in the area of these specific rulings, like, for example, abortion and same-sex marriage and other things. But the broader implication of what the Supreme Court does is it's kind of like Big Brother. It gives an example to the other siblings, and the other siblings are state Supreme Courts, lower federal courts, and law schools, because in law school you study the Supreme Court opinions. And if those opinions ultimately promote the idea of judicial activism, of a so-called living constitution where judges can change the intent of the constitution because they think it needs to be updated, rather than leaving that decision to the people, then that kind of philosophy becomes taught in the law schools. That philosophy then trickles down to your local circuit or your lower entry-level courts because those are people who were trained in law school. It permeates the federal legal system. It permeates the state system. Not only that, I was in Israel with a group of students, and we had a Israeli Supreme Court justice speak to our group, and he was saying that, well, the Knesset sometimes thinks that the Israeli Supreme Court is an activist court, so they have the same issues that we do. And he said, but, you know, yeah, we sometimes interpret things in a way that the Knesset says they can't be interpreted. The Knesset is the legislative body. But to justify their actions, you know what he did? He pointed to our U.S. Supreme Court decision in Roe versus Wade. He says, well, you do it. And he says, you know how you talked about the penumbra. Well, that comes from the 1973 Supreme Court Roe versus Wade abortion decision. So he pointed to our Supreme Court as an example and justification for them in Israel, doing the same thing, becoming an activist judicial system. So it has a ripple effect, not just in the other courts in America, but also in law schools and literally around the world.
Wow, those are great analogies, Matt. I really like that, the Supreme Court being like the siblings to the other courts. But again, a reminder that we need a solid constitutionalist on the Supreme Court.
That's right. The courts, for far too long, the left understands that most of their radical agenda, they cannot get passed through Congress. You think of decades of them pushing INDA, the so-called Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which actually would be a license to discriminate against Christians, elevating to a higher level as a suspect minority class, so-called LGBT folks. Well, they have not been able to get it passed, so they count on a radical act of a Supreme Court like they did, the five liberals did on the court in Obergefell just a few short years ago, to push their social agenda and use the Supreme Court as an activist vehicle for social engineering. An originalist justice like Kavanaugh ostensibly will not do that.
Right. In fact, Kavanaugh has indicated in multiple places and in multiple venues, his judicial philosophy is one that even though a judge has a difference of opinion in terms of whether the Constitution is outdated, that's not their prerogative to put that in the opinion. They have to apply the written words and the intent of that constitutional provision, that the executive has to enforce it and that the people, through their senators and representatives in Congress or through a constitutional amendment, are the only ones that have the authority to make law or to amend the Constitution. That is not the prerogative of judges. It's a very simple, straightforward philosophy. Seems like it shouldn't be controversial. It's only controversial to those that can't get their agenda through the democratic system set up in the three branches of government, and they want to use the judicial branch as more of this political ping pong to ultimately impose their agenda. pray for Judge Kavanaugh, pray for these hearings as we proceed, and ultimately for a vote in September. The court will ultimately begin the first Monday in October. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org/SCOTUS. That's lc.org/SCOTUS for more information.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.